I speak to you in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
At some point in our lives, we have to decide how to live. Are we going to spend our lives pursuing goals, building careers, climbing professional ladders, and seeking prizes? Are we going to indulge ourselves, investing in the best designer kitchens, tailored suits, expensive patios and pools, and gourmet wines and coffees? Are we going to spend our lives launching our children into their lives, going into debt to provide best education, best activities, best friends, and best chances to succeed? At some point in our lives, we have to decide how to live. In truth, we don't, for the most part, decide how to live in a moment of inspiration. Our manner of living evolves over time, sometimes propelled by specific decisions, often influenced by others, finally settling in our hearts and souls as the way to live. As we move along in life, there might come moments of decision, days of clarity, nights that feel murky. Such a decision as how to live our lives doesn't usually come neatly packaged. We come to realize that this is how we have lived, and for better or worse, this is how we shall live. When I was a child, my father was a Methodist minister. We lived in church homes, moving often from town to town. He earned very little money, so I felt poor during most of my childhood. There were blessings I took for granted. We always had a place to live. We took family vacations. My mother prepared dinner every night. Ground beef casserole, tuna fish casserole, fish sticks, hash, hamburgers, and other such gourmet meals. I knew all four of my grandparents until I was in college, seeing them often and being loved by these strange old people. It was not an unhappy childhood, but as may be typical of young people, I often focused on the things I did not have in life. I felt poor. I wondered why the kids from Snell Isle had better clothes and fashionable attire than I did. I knew that I was supposed to be happy with life, but I didn't always feel happy. I wish I could tell you that I had, a flash of godly inspiration, but I cannot remember when I finally heard the story from the Acts of the Apostles and heard how the first disciples of Jesus lived. They endured tenuous lives, besieged by the Romans, distrusted by the Jews, clinging to each other for safety and hope. Very soon they discovered that they had to live in the power of Jesus' resurrection. This meant that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That all made sense to me. They were a small community. They had to stay with each other, draw strength from each other, and make the best of it. I was astonished, I still am, to learn that they lived a kind of primitive communal life, having all things in common, selling their possessions and goods, and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. I figured that lifestyle was worth trying, even if it seems beyond our capacity or desire now. But the secret to this little band of believers, the great hope of their life together, the unbidden strength that helped them live as they lived, was that they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. There, that's what I was looking for, glad and generous hearts. I really cannot recall the first time I heard those joyful words, nor the first time I thought that if I could also live with a glad and generous heart, everything else in life could be embraced. But it is still the great secret. It is still the great hope of our life together. It still comes unbidden into our lives, weaving lives worth living, whatever the circumstances. Hidden there in the second chapter of Acts, almost tossed off in a brief commentary about the early Christian community, is the power of life well lived. Is it still possible? Can we also break bread and live our lives with glad and generous hearts? Can those simple, vast, and holy habits carry us through times of sorrow, of want, of pain and distress? Can we discover that the breath of Jesus that enveloped us on Easter, the hospitality that opened the world on that first day, the promised shelter of the Good Shepherd, can all those things yield in us glad and generous hearts? And that those glad and generous hearts will unfold upon the world like the dawn of God's love. As I have returned to this short secret of life well lived, time after time, I have discovered that you cannot enforce this secret. You can't say to somebody, you know, you should have a glad and generous heart. But if you want to be miserly, restless, and predatory, you will live with what you get. If you are suffering the darkness of grief, you will not know a glad and generous heart until the darkness begins to lift and hope grazes your heart. If you don't feel glad and generous, it is not ours to make you so. But it still happens. And it can happen to you as well as it happened to the first disciples. They must have felt it as they assembled together, as they broke bread and knew Jesus in the breaking of the bread, as they remembered his promise of life and hope. They must have found themselves seeing more clearly, finding more room for others, looking past their troubles to the great goodness flooding over them. I cannot account for when that happens, but it will happen. Let this be the day that it happens. You may not be ready. You may still feel tethered to other ways of living. You may not even notice when your heart turns toward the one who gives life and your heart begins to throb with gladness and generosity. The days will still inch forward in chronic sameness. You will still have to go to work, pay your bills, solve your problems, deal with your neighbors, reconcile with your children or your parents, save for your retirement, and worry about the next worldwide health scare. Just knowing that your heart is glad and generous will not absolve you of fighting for justice, remediating poverty, caring for this earth, our fragile home, welcoming the stranger, or seeking to make the world whole. In my experience, glad and generous arises when it arises, and some days remains hidden. I have many days of sorrow when my heart feels heavy and pinched, not glad and generous. But in case you have missed it, here is the gospel message for today. Glad and generous is always better than heavy and pinched. Glad and generous always overcomes worried and estranged. Glad and generous is the Easter gift from God to those who seek life and hope for rebirth. Let this be the day we decide how to live our lives. Let this be a glad and generous day. Amen.